Aha! How could I know of these? Do not forget, my esteemed listener, that we Arabs are unusually gifted in matters of fantasy and magic. Did we not give the world 1,001 nights? There are times I will speak to you in my own voice. Others will speak in theirs. Our tale comes from a million suns and moons and comets, and all that I cannot possibly know will reach your ears with the help of Allah and our special magic. As a male child, I was entitled to my mother's breasts for as long as I demanded them and was not weaned until my 5th birthday. Usually, this signaled the boy was coming out of the kitchen, but I was small and still able to hide among the women. My mother, Hagar, was a large woman with great breasts. Not only were they filled with milk, but they gave me a place where I could nestle and feel an enormous comfort. I managed to hide from the world of men until 1944, when I was 8 years of age. One day my father, Ibrahim, sent my mother away to her own village many miles to the south. She was rarely given time off, so her sudden departure was both traumatic and ominous for me. As an infant and a young child, I lived with women who sheltered and protected me. My grandmother had raised me part of the time because my mother not only had the duties of the kitchen, the house, and the family, but she worked in the big fields and attended the plot beside the house as well. It was a few days after my grandmother died that my mother was sent away. Fetching water had been my only chore. I had gone to the village well with my mother every day. Now she was gone. I was greeted with taunts. The women all cackled and laughed at me. They told me my father was going to take a second wife. That was why my father had sent her out of the village, to spare himself her anger and humiliation. Soon my playmates joined in the chorus of taunts, and some threw stones at me. I saw my father taking his morning stroll to the coffee house, which was owned by him and my uncle Farouk, and which was where he spent most of his day. I ran up to him and cried about what was happening. As usual, he brushed me aside harshly, walking on. I ran after him and tugged at his coat, a tug barely strong enough to demand his attention. As he turned, I threw my little fist at him and said I hated him. My father grabbed me by the arm and shook me so violently I thought I would faint. Then he tossed me like garbage so that I landed in the open sewer that ran down from the top of the village. There I was, dressed as a girl, shrieking at the top of my lungs. I could feel salt from my tears and snot from my nose dripping into my mouth. I shrieked in desperation, for even at that age I realized there was nothing I could do about my situation. There was no way to either rebel or protest. I have seen that little boy over and over again in refugee camps, playing in garbage dumps, being hit and shaken and taunted by adults and family and playmates, all screaming to an unhearing Allah. Our village of Taba sat near the road to Jerusalem. My family was of the Sukori clan, which had once belonged to the Wahhabi Bedouin tribe. The Wahhabi were great warriors who came from the Arabian Peninsula about 250 years ago and purified the region for Islam through sword and fire. Eventually, the power of the Wahhabi was broken by invading Turkish and Egyptian armies. Many of the clans split off from the main tribe, and some migrated to Palestine. Our branch of the tribe roamed an area between Gaza and Beersheba, crossing back and forth from the Negev to the Sinai deserts. Several clans, numbering over 150 families, moved north and settled on the land. However, we still retain very close ties with the Wahhabi through marriage, reinforced at festivals and wedding and funeral times, and we use them as cameliers during the harvest and manure gathering seasons. My father Ibrahim was a great man who was feared and respected in the entire region. My father